Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you could kneel where you're at, please do so. We're gonna pray. To Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, we trust you, and we love you. Thank you for giving us answered prayers, giving us what we need to glorify you, keeping your hedge of angels always about us, and blessing us with these trials and tribulations that we go through to help us to grow closer to you. We need to understand how to walk during this time, because the time of Jacob's trouble is coming soon, and it has even started in some nations where people are being killed for their faith. So we need the strength, Father, and we thank you for that strength that you give us. We lift up all those that are on our prayer list, and we thank you for blessing them with answered prayer, whether it be physical, spiritual, or financial blessings, whatever they need. We have many unspoken requests, and we lift up Sister Lee, who's having a situation right now physically. And we thank you for your healing hand upon her, whenever you see fit. We thank you, Father, for the Sabbath that brings us even closer to you and lets us know that you care enough about us to give us a day to rest and to contemplate you, our Father. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Hold on, let me get some water here. All right. Welcome everybody on the radio, and welcome everybody on the phone, too. It seems, I don't know what's going on with the phone right now. I don't even know if it's if people are on there. It's showing it's still in there. I don't really know. So I can check it later, but I don't know if I'm gonna keep that conference call thing going because it seems to be too big of a problem. Unless I can get it to work through the mixer. Having it work through the computer. Unless I use a separate, yeah, maybe I should just do that. Use a separate computer. But that means getting another magic jack, so whatever. We'll figure this out. All right. We're still in Ministry of Healing. We're in the middle of page 390. Starting in the section called The Father's Responsibility. And it says, the husband and father is the head of the household. The wife looks to him for love and sympathy and for aid in the training of the children. And this is right. The children are his as well as hers. And he is equally interested in their welfare. The children look to their father for support and guidance. He needs to have a right conception of life and of the influence and associations that should surround his family. Above all, he should be controlled by love and fear of God and by the teaching of his word, that he may guide the feet of his children in the right way. The father is the lawmaker of the household, and like Abraham, he should make the law of God the rule of his home. God said of Abraham, I know him, that he will command his children and his household in Genesis 18, verse 19. There would be no sinful neglect to restrain evil, no weak, unwise, indulgent favoritism, no yielding of his conviction of duty to the claims of mistaken affection. Abraham would not only give right instruction, but he would maintain the authority of just and righteous laws. Okay. All right. God has given rules for our guidance. Children should not be left to wander away from the safe path marked out in God's word into ways of leading to danger, which are open on every side. kindly but firmly, with persevering, prayerful effort, their wrong desires should be restrained, their inclinations denied. And a lot of kids today think you do that and the parents become the enemy. And that is in itself prophetic fulfillment. Because in the last days, children shall be disobedient to parents. And this is one of the reasons you see the way the kids are today, and it has a lot to do with music. I was just watching a preacher last night on the on YouTube, and he was preaching about rock music and the dangers of it, and a lot of people just don't realize how dangerous it is and how it, I mean, who was it? He even quoted a guy, I think he quoted Plato or somebody, where he said, somebody was in control of, the Chinese, that's right. And then later on he quoted Plato. He was talking about how with the Chinese, over 2,500 years ago, they were making sure that certain forms of music weren't allowed in their nation because of the way it would affect the children and would cause unrest in the government. And then Plato years later said, depending upon the music that you have in your nation, it could literally affect the laws of your land. And this is one of the reasons you see how ridiculously crazy it is in Congress in our country, because of the rock music is just normal now. It's in the commercials. It's in the elevators. It's on the bus you drive on the way to work if you take a bus or train, or it's in all the stores that you shop for food or clothing, whatever the case may be. So it has, and if people don't think it's powerful, then for lack of a better word, they're just plain stupid. Because if it isn't powerful, then explain why that you could be driving down a road and flipping through the stations on the radio, and all of a sudden you come across a song you heard 20 years ago, and you can literally sing it word for word, verbatim. But if there was no melody, you wouldn't remember the lyrics. A lot of people don't realize this, but Satan is the angel of music. And this is one of the reasons the music is doing what it's doing today. He's using it to his advantage. And this is one of the reasons kids also get upset with their parents when you take away their music. Because it's like a drug. And so there's all sorts of reasons as to why children are disobedient to parents. And rock music's right up there on the top of the list. And in the 50s, I mean, it's just... It's obvious how things went downhill ever since the 50s when they started in with that. No one would listen to the preachers. And then, you know, that was supposed to happen anyway, so. Praise the Lord for those of us that have eyes that see. But continuing, she says that the father should enforce in his family the sterner virtues: energy, integrity, honesty, patience, courage, diligence, and practical usefulness. And what he requires of his children, he himself should practice, illustrating these virtues in his own way or in his own manly bearing. But fathers, do not discourage your children. Combine affection with authority, kindness and sympathy with firm restraint. Give some of your leisure hours to your children. Become acquainted with them. Associate with them in their work and in their sports, and win their confidence. Cultivate friendship with them, especially with your sons. In this way, you will be a strong influence for good. And yes, she does mention sports here, but she, if you do some research on when she talks about sports, there is no competition going on. Sports are good exercise. But when you start competing, like in the Olympics that actually started yesterday, I think, in Beijing, that's just all paganism, you know, the way it's what they're doing now. It's just a glorification of mankind. They, you know, worship the creature more than the creator. But going on, she says, the father should do his part toward making home happy. Whatever his cares and business perplexities, they should not be permitted to overshadow his family. He should enter his home with smiles and pleasant words. And this is one of the reasons I have a little note on my door down here in my office. Before I leave my office, I have to read that little note every time I open the door. And it says, leave the problems in here, I think. No, it says, leave the problems in this room. Because you know, it's, you know, the hateful emails and the attacks and stuff like that, they get on you. And a lot of times someone will walk in here and I'll be in a bad mood and they'll get upset with me and walk out. And, you know, it's not because I have anything against them. It's because of what I'm going through at the time that they happen to walk in on. And I have to deal with, you know, just like any man would have to deal with it, you know, in certain attacks. But when I leave this room, I do my best not to bring it with me, because it will affect your life if you bring your troubles home. Even if you're having, you know, because I can remember before I was a Christian, I would have a lousy day at work and I'd bring that home. But most of the time I was a happy guy, you know, especially even when I was a kid, I was always a happy kid. Even when I was getting pounded on, half an hour after I got pounded on, I'd have all smiles with the black eyes and everything. You know, I didn't, you know, I would blow stuff off. And so I praise God for that. But as you get older, you kind of hold on to things a little bit longer. And so I praise the Lord for helping me in that area too. But going on, she says, in a sense, the father is the priest of the household, laying upon the family altar the morning and evening sacrifice. But the wife and children should unite in prayer and join in the song of praise. In the morning, before he leaves home for his daily labor, let the father gather his children about him, and bowing before God, commit them to the care of the Father in heaven. When the cares of the day are past, let the family unite in offering grateful prayer and raising the song of praise, an acknowledgement of divine care during the day. Fathers and mothers, however pressing your business, do not fail to gather your family around God's altar. Ask for the guardianship of holy angels in your home. Remember that your dear ones are exposed to temptations. Daily annoyances beset the path of young and old. Those who would live patient, loving, cheerful lives must pray. Only by receiving constant help from God can we gain the victory over self. And this is kind of like touching on what I'm going to be sharing today in regards to the sermon. There's a lot of reasons we go through the things that we go through, and it has a lot to do with distrusting self. We have to learn that we can't trust ourselves, period. And so, but I like the way she, it just seems to fit sometimes with the Sabbath study, because I don't plan these things in advance. Sorry about the throat thing, but, you know, what are you going to do? All right, continuing. Home should be a place where cheerfulness, courtesy, and love abide. And where these graces dwell, there will abide happiness and peace. Troubles may invade, but these are the lot of humanity. In other words, that's life. Let patience, gratitude, and love keep sunshine in the heart, though the day may be ever so cloudy. In such homes, angels of God abide. And I can, you know, I love that whenever she reminds me of this, and or whenever I'm reading scripture and I'm reminded of this, because a lot of times you do stupid stuff, and I like the way the Lord will remind me sometimes in the midst of temptation that if you continue in this path, young man, the angels that abide in your home are going to step back so the demons can step in. Because this is your decision. And so, you know, it helps to sin slowly, if you will. You know, slowly walk up to it. Give the Lord plenty of time to deal with you and to guide you away from it. Because a lot of us don't realize that when we sin, we're asking the good angels to step back for a moment so the bad angels can come in and entertain us or minister to us or whatever the case may be. And in such homes, the good angels do not abide. So going on, she says, let the husband and wife study each other's happiness, never failing in the small courtesies and little kindly acts that cheer and brighten the life. Perfect confidence should exist between husband and wife. Together they should consider their responsibilities. Together they should work for the highest good of their children. Never should they, in the presence of the children, criticize each other's plans or question each other's judgment. Let the wife be careful not to make the husband's work for the children more difficult. Let the husband hold up the hands of his wife, giving her wise counsel and loving encouragement. No barrier of coldness and reserve should be allowed to arise between parents and children. Let parents become acquainted with their children, seeking to understand their tastes and dispositions, entering into their feelings, and drawing out what is in their hearts. And now for those of you that have young kids, please, I implore you, what she's saying here, stepping back a little bit further, criticizing or fighting, if the husband and wife start fighting in front of the kids, boy, that is not a good idea. I got to tell you, most of our children have already moved out. But before we had wise counsel in this area, and before we were even Sabbath keepers, we used to go at it, the wife and I, in front of the kids. And it has a tendency to cause a problem, especially when I am the louder one. You know, to this day, some of the kids still think I have a problem with my anger. And because they keep, it's just like with my siblings, for example. When I became a Christian, as far as I know, some of them still think I shoot stick for a living, you know, like billiards. And still, you know, and I'm still the old guy that I used to be before I was a Christian. And it's going to be the same way with your kids. If you had an anger problem, which I got to attest to, I did have a really big anger problem. I never hit my wife, of course. I wouldn't do that. But because I just don't think it's right to even hit men, let alone women, especially women. I would get loud, and I had the ability to use words to really cut deep. We know how deadly that pink dragon can be, you know, the tongue. And I would use it to my advantage, and I would get my wife crying. And, it affects the kids, and they would see this. And even though we haven't had these yelling, shouting matches for years, as far as I can remember, and I haven't had any problems with angers for years, the kids still think I do. So trust me when I say this, if you and the wife are going to have an argument and you get little kids in the house, either get the kids into another room or you get into another room, and when you yell at each other, do it in whisper tones. I mean, if those kids want to hear the argument, they're going to have to cram their ear against the door to hear it. You don't want to, because it will affect your children, and then it will affect your ability to raise them wisely later on when they need it even more so when they become young adults. Because they're still going to have it stuck in the back of their head that you're going to blow up at them at any second, and you're unapproachable. And it bothers me sometimes. It really cuts my heart sometimes when I think about that. And there's really nothing I can do, because I can't change someone's mind. That's God's duty and his ability. We as humans can't do that, and so we pray for our kids. So, continuing. Parents, let your children see that you love them and will do all in your power to make them happy. If you do so, your necessary restrictions will have far greater weight in their young minds. Let me repeat that. Parents, let your children see that you love them, and you will do all in your power to make them happy. If you do so, your necessary restrictions, you know, like the slap on the wrist kind of a thing, or don't do that, or you can't have that video game, or no, you're not listening to that kind of music, and turn a channel on the TV, or better yet, shut it off, will have far greater weight in their young minds, because they know you love them and you know you're looking out for them. It's just like if there's a fire, don't go near it. But for some reason, when it doesn't affect the flesh right off instantly, kids or adults for that matter are going to think it's perfectly acceptable. It's no big deal. It's kind of like with cigarettes, you know. Oh, if I don't die on the first puff, then I must be all right then. Even with drugs. And sadly, some kids, when they try drugs for the first time, it kills them. We're nothing but a bunch of bag of chemicals here. And you put cocaine or tick or whatever, whatever you're going to put in your body, you really are playing Russian roulette. You know, you got a bullet in the gun and you're pointing it at your own head, because you really don't know. You are not a scientist. You don't know the chemical makeup of your body. And to prove that we all don't have the same chemical makeup, I can walk in the woods behind my house without a shirt on if I wanted to on a hot, humid day, and not one mosquito is going to land on me. My wife goes out there bundled up in a parka, and she's going to get stung. It's just her blood type is different from mine. And just like some of the kids will go out in the woods, they're going to get bit by mosquitoes, I won't. It's chemicals, okay? And even blood type changes, you know, like, you know, A or B positive, whatever the case may be. I don't even know what. All I know is my blood's red. So there is a difference in everybody. So continuing. Rule your children with tenderness and compassion, remembering that their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven, Jesus said in Matthew 18:10. If you desire the angels to do for your children the work given them of God, cooperate with them by doing your part. And I've got to praise the Lord for this too, because we always pray, me and my wife, we always pray that hedge of angels around the kids, especially more so now because 99% of them don't live with us anymore. They're all adults. And even our youngest that is living with us is on the verge of adulthood. Okay? She's a teenager now. And so we pray the hedge of angels around them because we know we cannot be with them 24/7. It's not like they're running around in diapers and we've got a leash on them. They have to have some freedom. They have to learn sometimes lessons the hard way. They have to go out into the world and realize that that person who you thought was your best friend is really a big problem. That's how the devil always approaches. And so when you pray that hedge of angels around your kids, certain events or certain situations that are going on in your children's lives that are dangerous are going to somehow be made known to the parents so that the child can be dealt with properly. And you have to do it, you know, of course, in a loving manner when you get the information that the Lord reveals. So finishing up here in this one section, it says, brought up under the wise and loving guidance of a true home, children will have no desire to wander away in search of pleasure and companionship. Evil will not attract them. The spirit that prevails in the home will mold their characters. They will form habits and principles that will be a strong defense against temptation when they shall leave the home shelter and take their place in the world. Children, as well as parents, have important duties in the home. They should be taught that they are a part of the home firm. They are fed and clothed and loved and cared for, and they should respond to these many mercies by bearing their share of the home burdens and bringing all the happiness possible into the family of which they are members. Now, a lot of kids, okay, that's going to go in one ear and out the other, you know. But as we know as parents, you know, okay, little Johnny or little Susie, whatever the case may be, you know, that sock you just took off and dropped on the floor, 3 inches away from the hamper. You want to pick it up, put it in the hamper, okay? Be part of the home firm, as she's saying here. Do your part. We do our part as parents by paying all the bills and taking care of, make sure you get food in your belly and clothes on your back. Do your part and pick up after yourself or whatever little things that little kids do. Just a part of growing up. You know, like when you leave a room, shut off a light. I've always, and my kids are really good about that, and I praise the Lord for that because it cuts down on the electric bill, yes. And okay, it's just a light bulb, but you know, it's a light bulb. Why is it on? There's no one in the room. So, but I was, you know, it's something I was trained up as a kid too. You know, one of 11 kids, you always shut off the lights because it just made no sense to have a light on in a room that no one was in. It helps every little bit. It might only be a few pennies an hour, but it helps at the end of the month. It adds up. So finishing up, she says, children are sometimes tempted to chafe under restraint. But in afterlife, they will bless their parents for the faithful care and strict watchfulness that guarded and guided them in the years of inexperience. In other words, this is going to cut deep. It's going to make them understand. You train up the child the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And guess what? They'll train their kids the same way. And if you have a situation like me and the wife had where we train the kids in the way they shouldn't go, get them, and then you find Christ, and everything is, you know, getting much better and all that, but some of the kids are older, and they remember the old ways, gather them all together and have a family meeting, and you, the parents, apologize to them. We did that, my wife and I did that many years ago. Now, yes, still, some of the kids are still going to remember, you know, some of the problems. It may take years for them to realize that, hey, dad's changed or mom's changed, whoever's got the anger problem, you know. It can take years, though. But it'll all be sparked right back into their memory the first time you get angry, even if you're getting angry justifiably so. Because even Christ got angry. We all remember the whip of the cords when he went into the temple and cleaned it out. But how do you get angry? Do you go swinging wildly and start busting things up? And no, that's not what Christians do. So, praise the Lord for his truth. I'll be back in a minute.